There could be a lot of entrepreneurs who don't feel successful because being successful is really getting an enterprise to a point where it can take even that next liftoff.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. Today's interview was super practical. I had the pleasure of interviewing an incredible entrepreneur and woman that I met at a really interesting health conference last year. Her name is Kimmy Bohannon, and she is one of the founders of the Weekly Juicery. And the juicing industry, as you've probably noticed, is full. Everyone is looking at this as a really interesting business opportunity, and frankly, not many make it. Kimmy has. She's built a fabulous business, not necessarily on picking the best and sweetest flavors available to your palate, but being steadfast in acknowledging that she is not there to make things taste good, but to make you feel amazing. She has been consistent in setting the highest possible standard in terms of what she creates and puts out there. And it's exactly this consistency and this high standard of juice that she creates and the innovative ways that she distributes it that has really made her so successful. We got into the nitty-gritty of juicing. We talked about the health benefits of juicing versus smoothies versus just getting your vegetables whole. And we talked all about how to take the grinds and the fiber and the cleanup and all of the components of juice that always dissuade us and turn them into some really incredible ideas in your kitchen. If you've ever looked at juice and tried to understand how it is helpful for you and how you can include it in your weekly routine, this interview is for you. Kimmy Bohannon, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to connect with you again. I loved meeting you in Scottsdale, so thanks so much for having me.
Well, I am super excited to get into your business and the benefits of juicing. Can you just give us a little bit of a background on how you got to where you are right now? Because your story is really fantastic.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was really around the year, seems it's really a long time ago now, actually, 2010. And I ran the New York City Marathon. I would call myself always generally healthy. You know, I exercise a lot and I ate generally healthy food, but I had really no experience drinking juice or really didn't know anything about that at the time. And I ran the New York City Marathon. And after the race, I was sort of stumbling around in some senses to make it back from where the race sort of let you out in Central Park West, right? All the way back to where I was going to meet the people that I came with and, you know, didn't run with a cell phone, none of that stuff. So I was sort of making my way and I went into a little place called Organic Avenue in New York City. And I believe it was probably one of the very first, quote, juice bars at that time. And I had some green juice and I thought to myself, wow, you know, so innovative. And this is going to be like the new coffee, right? So I came back home. I'm from Kentucky. I live in Lexington. And I started making juice myself. And a neighbor and I made juice for one another. And we actually decided, you know, it's so hard to make juice. I don't know if you've ever done it, but it just takes a lot of time. And it's a lot of mess. And it's a lot of produce. And so We said, you know what? We'll do this thing where I'll make juice for you for the week, and then you make juice for me for the week. And so we were neighbors, just a couple of houses down. So it was super easy, right? So I would make the juice, walk it down to her. But here's the thing, like, when she would make the juice and walk it down to me, I said, holy smokes, like, this is princess-like. Someone's delivering this, you know, wonderful, healthy juice for me. Who, you know, and I've been making it myself. And the thing about drinking juice is once you start doing it, it's incredibly hard to quit because you feel so good. So I told her, I said, you know, we need to do a business with this because most people will never be able to realize just how good they can feel, how this is really perfect fuel for their body because they'll give up, right? It's just too hard to do it with regularity unless I do it for them. And that was the start of the weekly juicery. I named it that because I only made juice Monday through Friday at that time, and I didn't allow anybody to pick or choose. You had to drink whatever I was drinking for that particular day, and I made it for you, and I delivered it right to your door. And so that was, let's say, October of 2012, and, you know, by January, I had some 80 weekly customers. So in That's Kentucky, awesome. In 2012. So, but it was because I made them do it for the week. I made them do it every day. You couldn't tell me, oh, I just want juice one day. You had to commit for the whole week, right? And that's how people make that changeover.
Yeah, I like that. I just read a book called Willpower Won't Work by, I think, Benjamin Hardy. And he talks about you have to craft an environment around you to be able to cultivate change, not just like will yourself into change. And that's what you're doing for people. You are changing their environment. You are enabling health. You're making it so much easier for them.
Right, right. So we opened some retail stores after that response. You know, here I'm making 80 juices a day in my kitchen, right? The health department would have a nightmare over this, right? So I said, ho, 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 this is like, I can't do this anymore. So we opened our first retail store that following May. And since then, we have now 5 retail locations. And most recently, we have started the Juice Ritual, which we ship, you know, nationwide. And a similar concept, you know, I ask people to commit for the whole year. We do the Juice Ritual together on the first Thursday of every month. And basically, I ship 6 juices right to their doorstep. And we have a day of fasting, digestive rest, and kind of flooding our body with vegetable-centric juices. We don't juice much fruit, so really veggie-centric. We're certified organic, so really a high-quality juice.
I like that you're setting this up for people. I was reading on one of your, I don't know where it was, but you were saying, and I think this is a quote, it's not my job to make things taste good.
Right.
And I've had your juice, and you do make them taste good. But you're like, no, like you guys are going to do this, and you're going to go all in. Do you feel like that's a point of differentiation for you? Because this is a crowded market, and you keep growing. So, like, why? Why is that?
I do think that is true. Although I think at first it was probably maybe a negative thing for our business. But I think in the year 2018, it's a very positive thing, and I'll explain why. From the very beginning, I knew that because I made them for myself at home, and I had done this sort of laboratory work on my own body, and I knew that I felt better and everything sort of worked better when the juices had next to no fruit. So if you could believe it, my earliest weekly juice program, there was no fruit at all in any of the juices I made for these 80 customers, zero. And so I had to kind of from the very beginning combat a lot of, oh, I can't drink this due to the taste. And my answer to that was always, there are a lot more things you could do, sort of vote with your dollars, right? Everybody has a certain amount of discretionary income. There's a lot more taste-friendly things you can do. This is not about tasting good. This is not about that at all. This is about drinking something that is perfect fuel for your body, and ultimately that perfect fuel will help your taste buds kind of recalibrate to really want more of the same. That happens, right? And so, yeah, it's sort of been my mantra from the beginning. We do have some juices now in our lineup that have a little fruit, but most of them are really veggie-centric. I believe that's how juicing got kind of a bad rap. So many companies, most companies, in fact, juice companies, add water. They do not use certified organic produce. And then even sort sort of the worst thing is they use way too much fruit. And, you know, when the insoluble fiber is gone, you practice medicine, you know, that's really not doing anything for you, right? That's just giving your blood sugar a big rise. So we keep it veggie centric. Today, I actually think it's a positive because people are starting to understand that's the way it needs to be. That's the way it needs to happen. I probably lost some customers early on to those juice companies making fruit juices that taste better, but now they're coming back to me. So that's good.
Well, it's like you can do anything healthy, but not healthy, right? So I love that you're remaining authentic there. You made reference to this idea where juicing got a bad rap. And I always look to my patients to get a pulse on what's happening on the street, as it were, in terms of the conversations related to these things. And so right. I had someone the other day and I made some comment about a smoothie. She's like, oh, you can't have smoothies anymore. And I knew she was a juicer and then she was a smoothie person. And I looked at her, I was like, why? She's like, oh, they're not healthy. I was like, oh, do tell. She's like, well, you don't, you know, you, there's too much sugar or there's this ratio of fiber. Or so now she just eats a massive salad every day. So good for her. But I feel like there's this ping pong game of smoothie versus juice versus neither. Can you just enlighten us and debunk some of the conversations there?
Yeah, I can. And people also confuse the difference between making a smoothie and making a juice. So maybe that's the first place to start. I hear a lot of our customers kind of, you know, interchange that, i.e. they may say, I'm going to make myself a great juice in my Vitamix. Well, a Vitamix will not make juice. The Vitamix will make you a great smoothie, some great salad dressing. It does a lot of great stuff, but it is not a juice machine. And so, you know, the difference there being the juice has all the pulp and the fiber removed. A smoothie contains maybe similar ingredients, but still has the pulp of the vegetable, right? The soluble fiber, like that's all still included. So I think that's a really, you know, kind of first point. And in my personal lifestyle and in my personal opinion, there is room for both. And don't, and especially the big salad, which I have every day, I believe there's room for both. What I think happens to even, let's say, the smoothie, now that's not good for us either, is that most companies that you sort of, most smoothie companies, most bowl companies, you know, big bowl business happening now, oh, I'm going to have an acai bowl. A lot of those companies just add too much fruit and fruit sugars to really make it something that I think is really healthy for you. There could be some better choices there. So that's something that we stick with pretty stoutly in our juice bars, because we do also offer smoothies and bowls. You're going to notice they don't taste very sweet because we do not include much fruit.
And so what are some of the other things that people are including in juice these days? Like, I feel like there's always trend. My juice suddenly turned black and then it was blue and then it's extra yellow from turmeric. And I get all of those things. But can we talk a little bit about the adaptogens or the charcoal, some of these things that we're starting to see in juice? Are they total trends? Are they helpful? What's your take?
I think it goes back to that same thing we talked about. And I would kind of offer it this way, and then I'll answer the question. So if I made for you, Megan, two green juices, one of them could have 15 ounces of green apple and two or three pieces of kale. The juice is going to be green. It's going to be a green juice. You're going to see kale, green apple on the ingredient list. You're going to say, that's pretty good. Then the second juice I'm going to make for you, also green, is going to have 15 ounces of romaine, kale, and cucumber, and 1 ounce of green apple. The juice is going to be green, right? Still going to be green. Ingredients are going to be on the back. But what happens is sort of, it's very, very important when you are making juice and when you're making a smoothie to be really thoughtful, in my opinion, that 90% of the ingredients need to be plants. There is some room for adaptogens, there's some room for fruit, but 90% of it. And if we sort of follow that rule, then generally speaking, in my opinion, juices and now smoothies get sort of a bad rap, right? But if they are 90% plants, there is nothing bad, regardless of what health plan, nutrition plan, workout plan, sort of dietary theme that you follow, whether that's paleo, et cetera, that would not support flooding your body with organic plants that are easily digestible, right? So it kind of goes back to the quality of ingredients you're putting in, and the thoughtful way that you're sort of marrying them into recipes. We do use some adaptogens, and the note there would be you have to work with a company that is really doing the best work in sort of crafting and harvesting these things, because ashwagandha is a big one right now, right? We source it from a company called Sun Potions because they do the best work. And you can tell a huge difference between the ashwagandha and the sort of superfoods and tonic herbs you get from their company versus those just purchased from any number of the companies selling that stuff on Amazon. So that's another thing that I personally think is really important. The highest quality ingredients have to go in, or the intended result will be altered. Same is true with organics. You know, you will find a zero conventional ingredients in our juices, zero. First of all, we're bound by the USDA by using their seal, but you know, the plant, if it's chemically and structurally altered, can't do what it's intended to do for you. It just can't do it. So making sure that I do believe adaptogens have the ability to help our body, you know, kind of respond to the call that it's being asked to do, whether that be we're entering a stressful situation or trying to calm down. So I think that using the adaptogens and understanding how they can really affect us and help us is a great thing. Same with activated charcoal. We don't offer that personally, but I think there are great benefits, you know, to helping the body with natural detoxification efforts. So I think, again, depending on the quality, the company that's sort of sourcing the ingredient makes the world of difference. And that's why my advice to everybody listening would be to make sure you know who's making your product, to be sure that you know what goes into it, to make sure that you know there haven't been sort of harmful additives, that there's been no preservation treatment, all of those things, super, super important.
Yeah, and I'll just add there too, so people who are sitting there going, I don't know what an adaptogen is. Yeah. An adaptogen is typically botanical, although sometimes they're mixed with vitamins that help to support the adrenal glands. And your adrenal glands are really that main center of cortisol production, one of your stress hormones. And adaptogens are really good at modulating the release of that cortisol. So as your body's facing increased stress, it tempers the release of that cortisol so that you're not hijacked, in essence, by the physiology of stress. So I just wanted to throw that out there for people who are driving along going, I don't know what they're talking about.
That. Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't know about you, Meg, but I love coffee. I actually am a coffee lover.
Me too.
It doesn't love me, sadly. It doesn't. It just does not love my makeup. So I sort of have this like on again, off again, sort of like approach to coffee. And I feel honestly amazing when I don't drink it. And the way that I sort of get around that is with an adaptogenic latte every day. And it's made with sort of a tonic blend. It has ashwagandha and lots of other stuff, lots of those adaptogens, you know, blended with hot water, a little stevia. And it's very coffee-esque, if you will. And that's sort of my replacement. However, I do go through phases where I sort of slip back to the gateway drug of caffeine, but the adaptogens really do the same thing. It tells your body in a natural way, all right, it's time for me to rise up and do work, right? Sort of get prepared for the day and to be awake. So I can attest that it does work. Again, using the highest quality adaptogens is super important. So I have two companies that I really think do great work, Sun Potions and then a company called Shaman Shack Herbs, and they both make a very high quality product.
Yeah, no, it's great advice and really tapping into your body. Like, do you really need the coffee right now or do you not? And I found recently I went for a few days, I'm like, oh, I don't even need coffee right now. And the trick was, wait for it, I went to bed on time.
Oh, yeah.
I know. And here's the thing. I think we all kind of like sneak into this. Oh, I really need coffee. And my question to people now is, do you need the coffee or do you need to actually go to bed on time? And it sounds so ridiculously simple, but it's like right up there with hydration and juicing. Like sometimes health doesn't actually have to be complicated. It just has to be consistent.
Right. And, you know, it was pretty easy. That's exactly right. It was pretty easy for me to see, you know, when your body is your own laboratory. You know, you are, I guess what I'd say, I've always been very honest with the results and I drink our juice every day. Therefore, you know, I know exactly how to make it. I know how to make it so that it can really impact someone's health trajectory in a positive way. And we haven't even talked about, you know, I actually believe that it is in some ways kind of helping me reverse my trips around the sun. You know, I don't hate to use the word anti-aging because that's, you know, comes with it a whole host of things. And I'm 45. I don't want to look 20, right? But I want my body to feel like it's operating at a much younger age, right? I want it to feel really sort of healthy and sort of on par on the inside. And I think that juice, I drink, at least 32 ounces of green juice every day. And I think that's really helping my skin, you know, sort of everything is sort of on hold, if that makes sense.
Well, too, you flood your system with nutrients. It's kind of like having a fully stocked pantry. When your pantry's stocked, you can have a day where you didn't have time to pick up groceries. You're like, I can whip something together. But if your pantry is empty, your body's freaking out. It's stressed. It's more stress and pressure. For people who are like, okay, cool, I'm down. I'm curious. I'm going to try the juicing thing. But they're like, I'm going to juice at home. What do home juicers need to know? And I'm going to throw it there. What do all Canadians need to know since we can't order your juice yet? How do we mimic the quality of what you're doing at home?
That's right. So two things. One, I recommend for people, and we can put all of these, you know, as notes to this conversation.
We sure will, yeah.
So that everybody can catch it, because I've been using a juice machine in my house for a long time. I think I'm on number three of them. It's a juice machine by Breville, the company Breville. They make all kinds of smallish appliances, B-R-E-V-I-L-L-E. And the juice machine that I recommend is JE98XL. It's a super simple machine. It costs roughly $150 on the Amazon, right? So super cost effective, I think. Some of them range in the thousands of dollars, which is why I say this one, you know, it's definitely on the low end, but it works and it makes a great juice. And it's the thing and the reason that I recommend it to people who are starting out or new is it's easy to use. It's easy and it cleans up easily. You know, to say that making juice is easy and not messy is not true, but this one's pretty easy to use. And so I recommend that juice machine. I recommend that you invest in several mason jars that have lids, right? Because you're going to want to seal your juice really quickly. And I recommend that you follow sort of this protocol of mostly vegetables, little to no fruit. Mostly vegetables. So like in green lemonade, which happens to be my favorite juice that we make, the recipe would be for you guys doing this at home would be something like about half of a head of romaine lettuce, 7 to 8 stalks of kale, 1 cucumber, 1 lemon, and 1 inch of fresh ginger. And that would make you roughly 16 ounces of green lemonade.
That sounds amazing.
So that's our bestseller. It has been from the beginning. And I don't know if I told you before we started, but I actually did, I did a little ebook. It's called The Juice Book. And we're going to give it to all of your listeners. Anybody who wants a copy, we'll just give it to you guys so that you can have. We included some of our best-selling recipes, and all of this is in there. So it sort of tells you how to be a discerning juice buyer, how to be a good juice maker at home, and then some recipes. So if you guys are interested, you can just download it. It's super simple.
Yeah, I totally love that. How long can I keep my juice in my fridge? I stick it in a glass mason jar. To be clear, you need to store it in glass. But
yes,
how long will it last?
If you're gonna make, that's the trick, right? So this machine is there's some trade off. This machine is super easy to use. It's as easy to clean up as any juice machine you will find, but it makes juice by way of centrifugal force. So it spins around much akin to your blender or your, you know, it has a lot of spinning motion. And that heat and air causes that vegetable enzyme to begin the kind of decomposition or oxidation process instantly, because a lot of heat and a lot of air kind of get created in the juice extraction. So for juices that are made with a centrifugal machine, I generally say to get the most alive product, right? Because that's what you're looking for. It's really a live plant enzyme and all the things that go into that within 24 hours.
Okay. And if I'm closing in on that 24-hour period, can I just like throw it in a popsicle mold? Will that extend the life?
You could do that. Yes, you could do that. To say that there would be absolutely no disruption to the vegetable enzyme in the freeze and the thaw process would probably be incorrect. But that would be an alternative, yes. That would be an alternative that you could do. And, you know, to thaw that again, you would just put it onto your counter and let sort of naturally thaw. The other thing that you could do, which just raised a point, which would be great, if you made your juice and you feel like, oh, shoot, I forgot about my juice. It's staying in the refrigerator today and I got home from work. You could use sort of like a BPA free and sort of good quality ice mold and make yourself some green cubes to be used later in your green smoothies, because that's a super easy way to make a creamy consistency for a smoothie is with a frozen ingredient. And what better way to include a frozen sort of, you know, vegetable power, right? Versus a, say, frozen banana or just ice. So I do that sometimes too. You just reminded me, that's a really good hint.
Yeah, I really like that. I keep some popsicle molds around my house for my kids, because I find it's a super easy way of getting juice into them.
Yes.
Somehow frozen things are magically taste better. Yes. But I have patients who are adults who are also like, I do the popsicle trick, because even they are willing to eat their veggies when it comes in a different form.
And so, you know, if you're going to spend the money, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 for an actual cold press, I personally do not have a lot of experience with the cold pressed machines for home use, because, you know, obviously ours make lots of juice at a time. They would take up half of a living room, right? So they're super big. I personally have always used a centrifugal juice machine at home. I've not had any problems with that, and therefore that's generally the course that I recommend. However, if you are interested in sort of the press, you know, you can get kind of Norman Walker's machine, the Norwalk machine. I think they're around $4,000. That juice is going to take you slightly longer to make. It's going to be slightly less mobile, meaning you might want to find a place for it on your cabinet. And I think it would be one of the best appliances you ever have, right? But the juice from that machine is going to last, you know, 3 to 4 days, because it does not operate with centrifugal force. It operates, the vegetables pass a blade one time, and then the press plates move at a very slow speed to press the juice out of the bag. So it operates differently. And that's why, you know, like on our juices, we have 3 to 4 days, because we don't allow any heat or air into the process, and it's bottled immediately. And so that's the difference. A centrifugal machine operating like a blender, you need to drink your juice quickly. A cold press, you can extend that.
I like that. And any quick tips for using the leftover roughage from the juice?
I actually put it into muffins, especially if you're making carrots. You can make some great muffins. If you're a meat eater, you can put the vegetable pulp. I make it for my children for meatloaf. They never have any idea they're eating beets and kale and romaine and the like. You'll just have no idea of that. You can add it to a smoothie. You'll have no idea that it's even in there. So there's a lot of things you can do with it.
Those are fabulous suggestions. So you were describing your machine that you have and that it takes up half the size of a room, which is probably not where most of us are going to start with our juicing. But can you just take us through the journey a little bit of you as an entrepreneur? Because this started with like you and your girlfriend trying to make life easier. And then you're like, oh, why don't I just open a scalable business? Did you always know that this was in you? Did you just take the next right step? Tell us a little bit about how you got here in that respect.
Actually, if you had asked me maybe 5 or 6 years ago, if I would be sitting here, the answer would probably be unequivocally no. I didn't really, to be honest, I didn't really start this to see it this far. I know that sounds strange, but I started it because I had been working in corporate America for a long time. And do you know that feeling when you lose kind of the connection to the work you're doing, which is means you can't really see the end game anymore. You can't reach out and touch it. It just becomes, the decisions you make seem so far removed from any action. So all of that. And what I loved about this making juice and delivering it is I was like physically working. It was so hard. I mean, it's like I had to source all the produce and make it all and bottle it all and deliver it all. It was like constantly, it's like a reconnection with work. And it felt really good. I think we have gotten probably where we are by an incredibly dedicated group of people. Sort of our senior team of people have mostly been here from the very beginning, meaning they've done every job in this company too. And, you know, come what may, I always know that I can count on them. And it's, you know, the journey from sort of zero to 60 is, gosh, way up and down. You know that. You're an entrepreneur also. Like, it's really hard sometimes to know if I should keep going. And I think just kind of having a really great team of people around me and a little bit of, you know, guidance from the universe, it seems like just about the point. And there have been a few where we say, you know, I don't know about this. I just don't know if we can keep going. And then we just sort of get this like gift from the universe, which is exactly what we needed to kind of go to the next step. So I really am open and a universal listener. I feel like I'm on the right path. I've just kind of ridden the flow, right, of allowing things to kind of happen. You know, it's a tough business, I'll tell you. You know, when you look at sort of traditional food businesses and businesses that make it, you know, our cost of goods sold is the gross national product of a small country. You know, it's really difficult to manage because I will stop doing it before I compromise the quality of what I'm making. And so that means, you know, we cannot add an ounce of water, right? I think that's where a lot of juice companies go wrong. It really dulls the product. You know, I don't want to be a commodity on the shelf at Whole Foods. I mean, the wall of juice there is astounding. But what makes anyone better than the next, right? So I've really tried to be thoughtful about the decisions we make, but mostly I have stayed really true to making the same quality product that I made in our kitchen, which is no fruit. Fruit's a lot juicier than vegetables, right? No fruit and no water and an incredibly veggie-centric process. We're USDA certified. That means we're prohibited from adding any conventional product in. We'd get fined. We just got approved by the FDA. We're approved food safety plan. So we've really leveled up to make sure we're following all the right steps to make the best product. And I think when you do that, it might take longer, right? But eventually your customers see that and they say, wow, I don't feel as good when I pay $6 for a juice from Whole Foods or $6 from a juice bar that juices conventional produce, right? And so eventually we're starting to see some of those customers come back. So it has been quite a journey. And to say that we've made it is so far from the truth. So yeah, we're still working at it for sure.
I love hearing that and all of the truth that lies in that. And one of the things I've been exploring a lot lately with some of the entrepreneurs that I work with is really understanding what their unique ability is. What is it that they actually brought to the table before they even had their business that made them different than someone else starting down the same path? Because I think we all tend to be flooded with a Facebook feed of coaches saying, you know, I did it, so therefore you can too.
Right.
And I don't think that's true. I think we all bring something unique to the table. And part of the I did it, you can too, is recognizing your core skills. So this is my long way of asking, what core skills did you have as an individual that you think really helped to accelerate and grow your business?
I think that there are really probably maybe three things that I would call out. My mom used to always say that I could outplay anybody in our neighborhood. You know, when I was little, I'm 45 years old, so like our parents just kind of turned us outside for the summer, right? And you just didn't come home until dark, right? It wasn't like my mother knew where I was at every hour, right? And so she would say, and her notice, sort of her call out to that was, you know, you'd play with a group of kids, Kimmy, and then they'd get tired and you'd go find another group. And they'd get tired and you'd go find another group. She's like, you were the kid that just never got tired. You know, I had to make you kind of come in at the very last bitter when you'd eked out the last bit of playing. And what I would say to that is I'm an incredibly hard worker. Like, it takes a lot to wear me out, you know, just a whole lot. And I think especially if you're going to do a business like mine where we make something, you know, we don't make a digital product with no cost, right? We make a physical product that has a whole host of things. We're almost manufacturers in some sense, right? You got to be willing to work hard. I still work in our kitchen several days a week, making juice, bottling juice, packing juice, all of that stuff. So you have to be a hard worker. I think that's one thing I brought to the table. The other thing that I would say is that I've had to be bold and confident even when I didn't want to be. And I think being bold and being confident, even when you are incredibly afraid that this is such a risky thing, is important. I moved forward with assurance and confidence, even when there was a lot of doubt in the back of my mind. So that's another thing that I would say I brought to this table, just this ability to say, listen, I'm going to make this work. We are making this work. This is what we're doing. We're going to make it work somehow, some way. So sort of being willing to work super hard, I brought to the table, being confident and bold and being assured that I was going in the right direction, I brought to the table. But short of that, I didn't know anything about anything running a business. And I honestly probably learned something new every day. I'm like, okay, well, gonna add that to lesson number 265 about what not to do. So, yep.
I love that. And I was going to say from there, like, how often do you feel like you are outside your comfort zone?
I would say every day I am. Yes. Every day I have to. Yeah, that's probably every day. Every day I have something to deal with that I, you know, have to sort of dig deep for. And I think that's really, that's part of like running a business and being, you know, being in charge of some other people's livelihood that have worked so hard for this company, you know, yeah, it's tricky. And I'll say, I'm often like, you know, how people, another sort of popular business thing that you hear about all the time is, oh, you can't be sort of paralyzed by indecision, right? The inability to make decisions. I wish you guys could see how that haunts me, you know, just making sure I'm trying to make the best decision. That's so tricky, I think. When you're the one making the decisions and the buck kind of stops with you, oh man, it's tricky.
Yeah, and I wanted to have that conversation and go there because I think when I speak to, and I'm going to make a generalization, but when I speak to male entrepreneurs, they just kind of make the assumption they're going to have to get outside their comfort zone and they go for it. Uh-huh. And more often than not, when I talk to female entrepreneurs, they're like, yeah, things are going okay, but like there's this real hesitation to step outside of that comfort zone. And I think that there's value in speaking to other female entrepreneurs where they're like, no, sister, like you got to cross that line because that's the promised land. Like that's where it gets fun and you fall down, but you get up because everyone in that area is used to falling down and getting up. Like everyone kind of supports each other, but you have to step over that line. And I just think it's a really important acknowledgement that we all do it.
Everybody does it. And, you know, I learned a lot as probably you do too. I follow a lot of sort of business folks and, you know, coaches and et cetera, just to, you know, surround myself with really like-minded, positive group of humans. Right. But at the end of the day, you know, like you said, it's, you know, everybody brings something different to this sort of, to this place. So the other thing I kind of try and think about is like, it's easy to get this idea that you should be further along than where you are, right? I should be so much further along. You know, our company should be, you know, turning on this raging profit at this point. And it's you know, I'll be the person to clearly say, you know, this is going to be our fifth year of business and we are just barely breaking even at this point. And from my perspective, I thought that people started businesses and like after a year or so, you're just raking it in. I think that's like you can start to feel that way if you follow a lot of people on social media who do sort of work with entrepreneurs. And so I'll just be the voice to say that's absolutely not been the case for me. It has not been because we haven't really worked hard. We made a series of mistakes here and there where, you know, it's just hard. You have to just be willing to dig super deep and know that you're on the right path, know that you're not making any product quality compromises, and embrace with confidence and assurance that you are exactly where you're supposed to be at the exact time you're supposed to be at. And if that to me kind of helps me with the day-to-day stuff, right? Especially digging deep and making these hard decisions.
Yeah. And I thank you for saying that. You know, the coaching program that I'm doing right now, we talk a lot about the differentiation between assessing the gap and the gain and the true benefit of getting into a mindset where we're focused on all of the gains and the wins that we've had, not how far we are from the next person that we're comparing ourselves to. And it totally shifts your physiology, your focus, your sense of purpose. It's just, right. But it takes a little bit of discipline to get there. But when you do, the payoff is massive, shifting that mindset.
Yes. So there's, you know, there can be a lot of entrepreneurs who don't feel successful because, you know, they don't have companies, you know, with, you know, 90%, you know, sort of gross profit, you know, because they make a digital product. You know, I'm just here to say, I think being successful is really getting an enterprise to a point where it can take even that next liftoff. And, you know, being willing to acknowledge that there are a lot of successes that are happening around you and being patient, you know, like that's been a key learning for me is just patience, and trust that I'm on the right path.
Yeah. Such brilliant wisdom, Kimmy. I love it. What do you want your legacy to be?
I want people to, especially my children. I have three children. I want them to see how hard I worked at making this dream come true. And I want people to see how important it is to, like, I'll come back to it, to never make cuts in your quality standards for financial gain. I think the reward is just never there. And I think that to me is something that is important. The other thing is that I have always tried my best to help entrepreneurs coming behind me, to extend my hand without payment or, you know, just to extend my hand to help others. And I hope people recognize that in, you know, as a quality that I always really stood. People have helped me along the way, lots of them. So I always try and make sure I'm doing the same, you know.
Well, and there's no doubt from the dialogue that you've shared today that giving away is part of who you are. How would you define health?
Define health is as this idea that, you know, you wake up every day feeling like $1 million, and that what $1 million feels like to me and what $1 million feels like to you is different. But that you wake up every single day, wow, you know, I feel great today. I feel better today than I felt yesterday. I feel better. I'm doing better. I'm looking better than I did the day before. And that's happening every day, every week, every month, every year. Sort of not falling into this trap that age is sort of this perilous journey, but rather we're going to improve our health with every passing day, week, month, decade. That to me is health.
I love it. I love that you're just embodying all the things that your business and your contribution to the world really do for people. So that's amazing. We've all heard that mindset has a huge influence on our ability to be effective and amplify in this world. But what if I told you your brain biochemistry, literally the neurotransmitters that are existing within your nervous system, can help amplify your mindset or your capacity to be effective? They can help accelerate your mission in the world. More and more with both my coaching clients and my patients, we end up having a conversation related to our own ability to control our nervous system through the optimization of neurotransmitters. Now, what the heck do I mean by this? The foods that you eat, the way that you think, your interaction with the world has the capacity to increase things like serotonin or dopamine, some of these really important neurotransmitters to helping you be effective and operate at your best. After listening to literally thousands of conversations with my clients and with my patients, I pulled together a very quick checklist so that you could have a better understanding of the things you're doing every single day to amplify your nervous system or downregulate it in a way that isn't necessarily serving your mission. If you want access to this information and want to learn a little bit more about how you can optimize your brain health for success, visit meganwalker.com/brainhealth to grab your handout now. Now, back to our episode. We have the second phase of the interview is a section that I call our KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we have these in our business, I believe that we have them in our lives as well. So I've got six quick questions for you related to your health and the way that you live. That gives our listeners just a little bit of insight. Nothing is hard or challenging. There's no math.
Hi. Key performance indicators. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, will you share?
Yes, I do. I try my best not to eat after around 6:30. That's sort of the like cutoff time for me. I've just learned that I feel better and I sleep better when I don't eat very late. I know that's probably different for everybody, but definitely do not eat late. I can't do it every night. I have three children. I love when I can take a walk every night after dinner. I really do feel like it really helps with digestion for me. I feel like it just kind of like, I don't know. I feel like it allows my body just kind of have time to digest the food that I just had, and I'm not rushing to the next thing. And it's just a super peaceful time. 99% of the nights that go by, I do sort of a Himalayan mineral salt, you know, magnesium salt bath. I do that generally every night with some body brushing before. So those sort of things are sort of my key. Sometimes I can't fit them all in, but I'd say 70% of the time I do. So that's the nighttime routine.
That's amazing. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading a book that was given to me. You know him. Dr. Stephen Cabral sent me his book, Rain Barrel Effect. So I'm reading that right now. I've loved getting to know him. We met him at the same health conference in Scottsdale, and it's fascinating. It's all about being able to empty your rain barrel and sort of chase good health. Typically speaking, I read a lot of business books, so I guess I would probably, at this stage of my life, truthfully, I probably read more nonfiction, although I do love fiction books. I read a lot. So previous to that, I did read a fiction book, The Old Curiosity Shop by Charles Dickens, one of his lesser known books. So I would recommend if you want to read something different.
Great suggestions, and we have Stephen coming up on the podcast in the next few weeks, so it's a perfect, well planted, well played.
His book is it's fantastic, so it's awesome. So
super, I can't wait to get into that with him. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health? I know you've got like a stellar evening thing going on, but is there one thing you're like, I never miss this?
That's true. Well, there's really two things that immediately came to mind. Number one, I practice a lot of yoga. You know, it is really my main point of physical exercise. So I have a pretty good asana practice that I rarely miss. When I do miss it, I'm really grouchy and truthfully not my best self. So I do try and carve out the 60 minutes a day. Again, everyone's busy. It can't always happen, but that is something that I never let. If I miss one day, I promise you I don't miss two. I'm pretty devout about that. So short of walking at night and yoga, that's all the exercise that I do. So you can see it's pretty important. The other thing that I'm, you know, short of drinking juice, which is an obvious.
I was waiting for that.
I do drink juice every day, just about. I'm really, really, really meticulous and almost like a little crazy, actually, about the water that I drink. And I guess I would say it's a little neurotic. I don't know how it's happened to me, but I just like so intentional on drinking this 100 ounces of water a day. And so I have this schedule. So, you know, at 8 a.m. I drink 20 ounces. At 10 a.m. I drink 20 ounces. At noon I drink 20. You know what I mean? Kind of like neurotic. I'm not neurotic about anything in my life, but that just immediately came to my mind because honestly, if I'm working along and I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed the 3 o'clock 20 ounces, then I get all uneasy. You know, it's kind of crazy actually. I don't know.
But that's the thing. You got to build that environment. That's perfect. Yeah.
It's neurotic water drinking.
So. I'm like, it's disciplined. You call it neurotic, just different perspectives.
Yeah.
Kimmy, what's something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
So I've been asked to give like several talks, right, at various things. And most people probably do, I would imagine, public speaking is obviously not my full-time job, but I've been asked to give a lot of talks as it turns out. And so they give me the topic, right? And it is some version of juice, whatever it is. And you know, I go and I don't prepare at all. I have a real gift, I think, for just speaking extemporaneously with charisma and with passion. And so I can sort of lead this audience through this talk that might, I hope, I generally get good feedback. So I'm thinking that it seemed like it took a lot of preparation and I literally just showed up there. So I guess like on the fly, extemporaneous speaking would be my sort of like badassing. I have the gift of gab, so to speak.
That is a gift. When we were talking about unique abilities before, that is one, to be able to just stand up and speak. Most people don't have it. It's amazing. What do you do for fun or play?
Well, I have three children, so 15, 14, and 11. So I love, you know, being with them. I love vacationing with them, especially in the summer. It's probably the most fun thing that, you know, that I can do right now. I love to play golf. I don't get to do it too often, but if I have a chance, I love to play. So I play golf, and I would say, you know, I walk my dogs. That's always a general nice thing. It feels good every day. And again, I practice yoga, and I hardly ever miss that. So that's 60 to 90 minutes every day.
Good for you. And last question, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh, we learn to become, for sure. That's an easy one. I believe wholeheartedly we learn to become, necessity, some other invention. We learn, right? We are sort of given this nudge and this idea. And it sort of, for me, goes back to this idea I had. Gosh, I probably still don't have all the skill sets you need to grow and take a company or an idea where it's going to go in its highest version, right? Yeah, definitely.
The thing I love most about that question is no matter who answers it, they answer it with confidence. It is the commonality. It's so great. Kimmy Bohannon, you have built something truly amazing. I know people are going to want to check out your work. Where can they go to find you besides our show notes?
Yeah. So we run, I run a free Facebook group called Chasing Good Health. And we just sort of do general tips and tricks about chasing good health. A lot of people who have tried our juice ritual, which is, again, just the six juices that we send right to your door, there in that group. We do a lot of, you know, sort of see what we're up to. A lot of my testifying is in that group. So you can find us, Chasing Good Health, on Facebook. You can follow us on Instagram at The Weekly Juicery. And, you know, we can ship to Canada. It just requires some sort of special handling. So, you know, if any of you guys are interested in trying the juice ritual, then I'm going to have you contact me directly and we'll see what we can work out. It helps if we kind of have a behind the scenes sort of person. You know, we shipped juice to Yuri a couple of times and it made it. So we can do it. It just takes a little extra care.
Perfect. Well, I feel like extra care is one of the things you are super great at. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. We're going to hook everyone up with all of your information in our show notes.
Awesome. And I'll get the juice book to you so you can ship it out as well.
Amazing. Thanks, Kimmy.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.